leader.
Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
Countries that don't control their debt and don't invest in the future begin to lose control of their destiny.
SOE Minister Tony Ryle warning of the consequences if the House did not pass his government's asset sales legislation, while opposition leader David Shearer warned what would happen if it did.
The fight is not finished.
Right.
It will be out of here and onto the streets.
That's,
that's where it's going.
That's
where we continue to fight this battle to keep our assets.
The battle in the House, though, was won by the government when its asset sales legislation passed its third and final reading on Tuesday by the narrowest possible margin. The 61 votes of National, ACT and United Future defeating the 60 of all other parties combined. Next day, that margin evaporated completely when debate on the first reading of a members' bill ended in a rare dead heat.
Honourable members, the ayes are 60, the noes are 60. It is lost.
Assistant Speaker Ross Robertson announcing the result of a vote on the first reading of a bill banning uranium for military uses from New Zealand. Promoted by Labour's Phil Twyford, the depleted uranium prohibition bill attracted support from United Future's Peter Dunn, whose vote was negated by the Maori Party's vote being one down due to the absence of two of its MPs from the parliamentary precincts. The bill had to be discharged because the Speaker no longer has a casting vote, and its loss was the subject of comment the next day, when the government put up a bill making relatively technical changes to New Zealand's obligations to observe protocols under the Geneva Convention, drawing this comment from Labour's Marianne Street.
I do wonder why this bill, which was introduced on the 24th of August 2010, has taken till now to surface. It has been languishing at the bottom of the order paper for some time.
It had been at number 40 of 56 bills on the government's order paper, and Marianne Street speculated on the reasons for its sudden promotion.
I can only imagine, Mr. Speaker, it is because the government has been so roundly stung by international reaction to its poor performance on the depleted uranium bill last night that it has in fact sought to redeem itself somewhat.
Labour's Associate Foreign Affairs Spokeswoman Marianne Street, and the government saw that bill sent to the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee, while also on Thursday, a bill allowing another year before the expiry of the restrictions on the awarding of compensation to prisoners for specified human rights claims received its third reading. The disposal of four members' bills on Wednesday night, one passed, another sent to a select committee, and two thrown out, made way for the introduction of four new ones drawn from the ballot on Thursday. And after last week's filibuster delaying the passing of the asset sales bill, the opposition agreed to the government's request to extend Thursday's sitting through Wednesday morning. That allowed the House to complete two three-hour set-piece debates before the end of the financial year on June the 30th. The annual debate on the performance and current operations of Crown entities, public organisations and state enterprises was almost finished when it was interrupted by the 10 p.m. adjournment on Tuesday night and completed when the House resumed at 9 on Wednesday morning and was followed by another three-hour debate on the Appropriation 2011-12 Supplementary Estimates Bill that ended in time for lunch at 12:30. Thursday's question time prompted the Speaker, Lockwood Smith, to clarify its purpose.
This question time is for the members of this House to hold the executive to account.
Lockwood Smith was drawn into an argument that featured contributions from the two ministers outside Cabinet from the pair of one-man parties that support the government and votes on confidence and supply. First, the ACT member for Epsom, John Banks, who drew the Speaker's attention to the relevant standing order.
383 says that an answer that seeks to address the question must be given.
Lockwood Smith brought Mr. Banks up to date.
The way that standing order has been interpreted has changed in recent times while the member was an odd member of the House. The way this Speaker interprets that standing order is that an answer must be given to the question asked, if it can be given consistently with the public interest.
But the ACT leader's argument was picked up by the MP on his immediate left, United Futures member for Ohario, Peter Dunn.
The question then becomes, Mr. Speaker, who challenges the minister in terms of the validity of the answer given? The questioner or you as the arbiter, as the Speaker?
The Speaker's answer was that straight questions deserve straight answers.
You know, this is where ministers are held to account. And it is important that this House can do that. The public expects it.
But ministers can relax for a couple of weeks. The next question time will not be until Tuesday, July the 17th, when Parliament resumes after this fortnight's midwinter break. More details on our website at parliamenttoday.co.nz. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.